point does a baby get human rights?
Answering that question with specificity is above my pay grade.
Faith without works is dead. People need to carpool more. And because Americans are so overweight, it might not be too bad to walk more.
If I have to follow him to the gates of hell, I will get Osama bin Laden.
Congratulations. All of my gay friends, I'm like, when are you getting married? I want weddings.
Welcome back to the second hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be talking a little bit about how religious conservatives are changing their mind just a little bit, becoming less comfortable with religion's role in politics. Here for the first few minutes of this second hour, Greg Smith of the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life from D.C. will be our guest. A little later in the program, we're going to be talking with Dr. H. Wayne House. He has a new book called The Jesus Who Never Lived, Exposing False Christs and Finding the Real Jesus. We'll talk with him about false Christ throughout history and the true Christ. You can join us for the next hour of the program, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback at issuesetc.org. That's our in-studio email address. We're coming to you live this Friday, the 22nd of August. Earlier this afternoon, I spoke with Greg Smith, senior fellow at the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life. I began by asking him whether we can still say that a majority of religious conservatives are comfortable with religion in politics.
Not on that specific question. One of the most striking findings in the survey is that we now find a majority of the public saying that churches should keep out of political matters, 52% now take that point of view. Over the previous decade or so when we've conducted surveys, we've consistently found slim majorities saying the opposite, that churches and other houses of worship should express their views on day-to-day social and political questions. The interesting thing is that most of the increase in the number of people saying churches should keep out of politics has occurred among conservatives, among Republicans, including white evangelical voters. Now, conservatives are more or less evenly divided on the question of whether or not churches should express their views, whereas in previous years they were much more supportive of church involvement in politics.
Does this mean that the parties themselves, our two-party system, Republican and Democrat, that the views of those who call themselves one or the other are necessarily changing with regard to the involvement of religion in politics?
Well, it does. Most of the change has occurred among Republicans. Republicans are significantly more likely today to say that churches should keep out of politics. But Democrats haven't changed so much. And in fact, whereas Republicans were once much more likely than Democrats to say that churches should express views on political matters, today there's virtually no difference between the parties on that question.
Is there any indication in the survey as to why, generally speaking, social conservatives are shifting their views from their previous general support for the involvement of church in politics?
Well, it's hard to zero in on a single reason, but I think that the overall findings of the survey suggest that what we're seeing here is a bit of frustration on the part of conservatives, social conservatives, about the way politics and religion have been interacting lately. And you can see that in a few ways. One way is that the survey finds an uptick, an increase in the number of people saying that the Democratic Party is friendly to religion. That's up to 38% after being down at 26% just a couple of years ago. You also see a real lack of enthusiasm among the public overall, but especially among conservatives and religious voters about the candidacy of John McCain. So it may be that we're seeing some frustration with the way religion and politics have interacted lately. It's important to point out that I don't think what we're seeing is any kind of fundamental reconsideration of the idea that we should have a politics that are informed by religious values. In fact, we continue to find large majorities saying that they want a president who has strong religious beliefs, and that's particularly true of conservatives and Republicans. And similarly, when we ask people if there's been too much or too little expression of religious faith and prayer by political leaders, the balance of opinion is toward too little or the right amount, rather than saying that there's been too much.
What about among Democrats? Are Democrats, at least, or did the survey deal in any way with how Democrats are comfortable with their own party's what I think was generally viewed as their party's attempt to capture religious voters in a general sense.
Well, the survey did look at both Democrats and Republicans on the general questions of whether or not, about religion's role in politics. Democratic opinion has been very much steady, especially as compared with the attitudes of Republicans and independents. On the specific question of whether or not the various parties are friendly to religion, we see a real partisan divide there. Perhaps not surprisingly, Democrats are much more likely than Republicans to see the Democratic Party as friendly toward religion, and the opposite of that is also true. Republicans are much more likely than Democrats to see the Republican Party as friendly to religion. On the question of how much are the parties controlled by religiously defined ideological groups? How much do religious conservatives have power over the Republican Party, and to what extent do secular liberals have too much power over the Democratic Party? There again, you find partisan divisions. Lots of Democrats, the majority of Democrats, say that religious conservatives have too much power over the Republican Party. Many fewer say that non-religious liberals have too much power over the Democratic Party.
You mentioned before the candidacy of John McCain. Has he been able, according to what this survey reveals, gain any traction with religious voters, and in particular with that kind of mainstream religious voter that the Republican candidates for the presidency have been able to count on?
Well, you know, I think one of the things that's so interesting about this survey is that despite all of the talk that's out there about potential changes in the religious voting coalitions and in the patterns between religion and politics that we might see this year, what's interesting is that this survey really suggests that the patterns we've seen over the last couple of elections we very much still see today. John McCain has a lead over Barack Obama that is very comparable in size to the lead that George Bush had over John Kerry 4 years ago with white evangelical voters. Similarly, we see that Catholic voters are more or less divided in their vote preference at this point in the election campaign, much as they were 4 years ago. And the unaffiliated, people who don't belong to any particular religion, tend to favor Obama very much over McCain, just as they did Kerry over Bush.
You mentioned the Catholic voters. I'm always interested in that. One of your colleagues, John Green, is quick to point out that that is, in many ways, the unsung block in all of the concern about religious voters and the trends in them. It is the Catholic voters that more often make a difference when it comes time for elections to be held. How do they identify? Are the Catholic voters out there identifying with one party or another more so?
Well, when it comes to basic preferences between the two candidates, Catholics right now are more or less evenly divided. If you look at all Catholics, right now 47% say they would vote for Obama and 42% say they would vote for McCain. If you look just at white non-Hispanic Catholics, there's almost exactly an even split, 44% saying they prefer Obama and 45% saying that they prefer McCain. If you look at overall trends in party identification, what we see there is that the Democrats have really opened up a substantial advantage over Republicans among white Catholics. Right now, 49%, or this year, I should say, 49% of white Catholics tell us that they identify with or lean toward the Democratic Party, compared with only 40% who describe themselves as Republicans. Just 4 years ago, the division between Republicans and Democrats among this group was much closer.
Finally, then, what are the biggest issues, as far as we can tell, for religious voters going into the presidential race of 2008?
Well, there are some issues that are important to people regardless of their religious orientation. Issues like the economy. The economy is going to matter to everyone's voting decision regardless of their religion. Energy is an increasingly important issue, not surprising given the trends we've seen in gasoline prices. But at the same time, we also see some issues on which there are significant differences across religious groups. Perhaps most notably, social issues like abortion and gay marriage rank near the bottom of the issue agenda among the public overall, but they're much more important to white evangelical Protestants than they are to members of other religious groups. But I should emphasize that white evangelical Protestants, much like much of the rest of the population, while abortion and gay marriage is important to them, those aren't the only things that matter to them. In fact, the economy, energy, issues like health care and terrorism are also highly important to evangelical voters.
Greg Smith is Senior Fellow at the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life, based in Washington, D.C. You can find out more about this new survey from the Pew Forum, information on it under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Greg, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
When we come back from this break, we're going to be talking with Dr. H. Wayne House about the false Christs. There are so many of them. And the true Christ, there is but one. Jesus asked this question of his disciples, who do men say that I am? They did a little survey. Well, some say John the Baptist, some say Jeremiah, some say one of the prophets, some say Elijah. It's all over the board, Jesus. Then Jesus cuts to the chase, who do you say that I am? Peter's answer, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's the right answer. Of course, Peter immediately falls flat on his face when Jesus says, and guess what? The Christ has to go to Jerusalem and suffer and die and rise again. That's who this Jesus really is. Took Peter a little while to catch on to that one, but finally he did. Went on to proclaim the true Christ, crucified and risen from the dead. We'll talk about the false Christ versus the Christ with Dr. H. Wayne House right after this.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, click promote, and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. issuesetc.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come. Join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30. And find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois at trinitymillstadt.org.